Our scripture this morning comes from John, the 18th chapter, verses 33 to 37. Jesus tells Pilate why he was born. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." The word of God for the people of God.
Riddles. I like riddles. So I'm going to ask you a few. We just had Thanksgiving. So a Thanksgiving riddle. A few Thanksgiving riddles. Which side of the turkey has the most feathers? The outside. Another one. What is the key to a good Thanksgiving dinner? The key? Turkey. And yes, the final one for Thanksgiving. What is the best thing to put into stuffing? Your teeth. So we've had Thanksgiving. I hope, pray, you've had a good Thanksgiving, giving thanks. Hope you gave thanks on Friday and Saturday, and today on Sunday, and every day. But now we're getting ready for Christmas. So a few Christmas riddles for you. What do you call a cat on a beach at Christmas time? Sandy Claus. Another riddle. What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Frostbite. And then my favorite. What nationality is Santa Claus? Think about it. What nationality is Santa Claus? North Polish. Riddles. Sometimes they're funny. So oftentimes they're corny. They're usually short. And riddles? Riddles are also used throughout our scripture this morning by Jesus. So I invite you to turn in a Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, beginning in verses 33 and 34. As Jesus stands before Pilate, Pilate then went back into the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers him in verse 34 with a riddle. "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" Jesus has been charged with treason, a capital crime, because his enemies reported that he claims to be the king of the Jews. Israel is a captive nation. Now what that means, it's under the authority of Rome and Roman rule. Yes, they're Israel, a country, but they're under Roman rule. And the religious leaders are saying that Jesus wants to rule the Jews as their king. Well, a rival king of a captive nation that you're already ruling? Well, they certainly will see that as a threat. So Pilate asked Jesus if he is the king of the Jews. And Jesus asked him a question. Jesus asked him a riddle back when he says, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" And this continues on in verse 35. "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was with your people. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Pilate asked Jesus another straightforward question. What is it you have done? And guess what? Jesus is going to answer with another riddle me this type of answer. Now I'm going to pause here to explain why I think Jesus is responding in riddles. Because a riddle is defined as this, first of all. A mystifying, misleading, or puzzling question posed as a problem to be solved or guessed. So like those opening ones I shared, they were supposed to be somewhat funny, but a riddle doesn't have to be funny. It is, as it says in number one, a mystifying, misleading, or puzzling question posed as a problem to be solved or guessed. Isn't that what Jesus does when he says, is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me? A puzzling question posed as to be for a problem or a guest. But there's also a second definition. Something or someone difficult to understand. Jesus is definitely doing this. For a riddle, like I said, does not have to be a joke. But Pilate has just asked him, what is it you have done? In verse 35. And standing before the Roman leader in the area, standing before Pilate, the one official who could either condemn him or set him free, Jesus appears to answer Pilate's basic direct questions in a mind-bending, riddling fashion. For Jesus continues in verse 36, think of that second definition, something or someone difficult to understand. As Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Definitely difficult to understand. What does Jesus mean, his kingdom is not of this world? What Jesus is doing is drawing the distinction between the manner in which kings of this world rule over people and the way God rules over people. The kings of this world, they rule by using what? Well, they use force. They use armies. They use threats. They use basically fear to impose their will onto others. But Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus rules by what? By using honesty, openness, love, truth. In George Bernard Shaw's play, St. Joan, Joan of Arc is always hearing voices from God. And the king is angered by this. He complains to her, oh, your voices. Why don't your voices come to me? I'm the king, not you. They do come, she replied, but you do not hear them. You've not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the angelus or church bell rings, you cross yourself and have done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the trilling of the bells in the air after they stopped ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I do. Are you like this king? You go through the motions of being religious and then be done with God? Or have you taken the time to experience, as Jesus puts it, my kingdom from another place? Have you taken the time to experience God after the noise is all gone? I guess the question is this. When have you heard the voice of God in your soul? You've done it while looking up at the stars at night, or out on a walk, looking at a colorful leaf, sitting in a parking lot, as happened to me a couple weeks ago in the autumn here. Or maybe when you're with a friend, a loved one, family, maybe when doing a hobby. When have you heard the voice of God in your soul? That is that kingdom from another world. And Pilate, while not at first getting what's going on here, I think he's somewhat understanding when he says, you are a king then, said Pilate. In verse 37, Jesus answers, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. And for this, I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Yes, Jesus is a king, but not a king that will threaten Rome's earthly kingdom. He is the king of truth. Here, in Jesus' riddle-like answer to the king, in his own words, we have the reason for Jesus to be born. We have the reason for the season. The reason we're in this first Sunday of Advent leading up to Christmas. Jesus was born to bear witness to the truth of God. He was sent by God. He was given a message to give to us. It was for this reason, as Jesus says, I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Jesus did not enter the world for any political purpose. Instead, he came to testify to the truth of God. Now, just as someone testifies in a trial about what happens, or they testify about a person's character, Jesus came to testify at our trial, the trials of life, to tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about God. And Jesus calls you to be on the side of truth, and so to listen to him. To listen to him in your dealings with your family. To listen to him in your dealings with your friends. To listen to him in your dealing with your jobs. To listen to him in the dealing of friends over coffee. To listen to him at every point in your life. And to listen to him in dealing with yourself. For when you listen to Jesus Christ, when you listen to God through Jesus Christ, you then have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, many of you know, I'm a Morningside College graduate, now called Morningside University, and I enjoy going to the Morningside football games. I like the basketball games, volleyball, and the other things, but I go to the football games. And I was sitting at a football game, about halfway up the bleachers, on the 40-yard line, watching the game. And there was a woman sitting with her family right in the row in front of me, just right off to my right. We're watching the same game. And the play came, and Morningside was on our side of the 50-yard line. We're on 40, then there was the 50, then the 40, 30, 20, 10, goal line. The Morningside quarterback goes back for a pass. The receiver's down there. He throws the ball deep. The receiver seems to catch the ball right by the ground. But not 5 feet away from that receiver was a referee. And the referee signaled incomplete pass. Yet, this woman, who's sitting right in front of me, one row in front of me, just to my right, approximately, I'm going to say 100 yards from the play versus the 5 feet from the referee. She knows it's a catch. She's yelling. She is emphatic. She knows the truth. She knows it's a catch and that referee is wrong. Now, if it had been the other team, you can surmise what that would probably have been like. But everybody around, she just let it be known that a referee was wrong and she was right, and she was letting everybody know it. So because she says it's right, that's the truth? Or maybe the referee, who's closer and knows the rules, the receiver didn't argue about it or anything. But you never would have known it by this woman that play was not good. She had her truth, and she let everybody know about it. So because she said that, is that what the truth is? Or is it what actually happened? For you see, truth is not what we would like it to be. Truth is what actually is. Truth is not how you want things to be. Truth is how God wants things to be. Are you more like that woman who was sitting in front of me, wanting things your way even when it's not the truth? Oh, she believed it. Believe me, she believed it. Or do you trust? Trust in the one who's closest to you. Trust in God through Jesus Christ. The one who rules over our lives. The one who shares with us the truth about life. Well, I guess I'll end this, since I started it with a riddle. I'll end this message with a riddle. So riddle me this. You must choose a side. Only one side you can choose. Will it be the side of what you want, or the side of Jesus' truth? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. God of truth, you know all about each one of us. You know our good parts and our shortcomings. Yes, we are not always perfect. We focus on ourselves and what we want instead of coming to you to search for the truth. So I invite you to pray for a situation you are having a hard time with in your life, and pray for God to lead you to the truth about that situation. And just as God provides us with the truth, God provides others we know, others that we love, with truth when they insist on their own way and not God's way. Yet God has placed you in their lives to help them see how God is there for them through Jesus Christ. So I invite you to pray for one or two others who are dealing with a situation in their life, and they need the truth of God to help them. And Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for all who are dealing with the death of a loved one, the death of a friend, the death that has impacted their life. Help them, comfort them, and show them the truth and how they have been an active part in their life, how they have impacted their life, but also how you have impacted their life. And we pray for God's healing power to be with those physically who need it, such as those recuperating from procedures or dealing with a chronic condition, those who have procedures upcoming, to trust in the gifts you've given for the healing profession. But Lord, we also pray for those dealing with mental health issues. We pray for those who are looking for emotional security, and we pray for those looking for spiritual answers to the questions, because oftentimes the answers to all these seem like a riddle. Yet it is through those riddles that we come to you and search for your answer. And Lord, we pray for you to be with all who are facing trials and tribulations. And we especially lift up this morning those with the recent shooting deaths. Lord, may your will be done. May your truth be shown. For when we look for God's truth in our life, we realize how blessed we are. And not just on Thanksgiving. The truth does indeed set you free to be who God created you to be, and to realize the many blessings God has truthfully given to you. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for one or two blessings God has bestowed on you. Lord, in addition to these blessings, we do thank you for a Thanksgiving day to help us remember how we are to be a people of gratitude. But we also thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus says that everyone on the side of truth listens to him. And each of us can listen to him by having him be a part of your life each and every day. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer, asking for Jesus to come into your life, whether the first time or once again. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.